Gracious and mighty God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you have given us each the ability to lift up to you praise and song. We thank you for the different ways that you comfort us, that you strengthen us, and that you give us perspective. We ask, gracious God, that you will speak to us today, and that you will help us to worship you with all of who we are. We give you this time in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed on Wiley Boulevard, near where our church used to meet, that there is this worn dirt path on the side of the road? Anyone notice that? So this path wraps around the back of Berry Plaza, and then it approaches the street, and then it continues alongside the street to where all the stores are. It is a path that is worn by foot traffic. But whenever I drive past it, I think someday, perhaps, there's going to be a cement sidewalk there. The history of some streets is similar. Perhaps there was some deer or a herd of cattle that they created a path that connected them between point A and point B, and their bodies brushed against the tree limbs, and they pounded down the grass underfoot, and then they created this path. And then along came humans and thought this path was easier to traverse than to create their own. And so then the humans and their horses went down that path, further strengthening the journey. And then vehicles came into existence, and the dirt would get wet, and so they put down gravel, and they widened that path a little bit. And then the time came when they wanted to lay down cement or asphalt. And so they took that path that had zigzagged because of difficult inclines and stumps they were trying to avoid and boulders they were trying to avoid and boundary lines, and they made it straight. And they put down cement or asphalt. I think church is like that. Each generation lays a new path built upon the path laid by previous generations. All generations working together to prepare the way for the Lord. So as Janelle mentioned, last Sunday I mentioned that my time as pastor of new disciples is drawing to a close, or coming to a close, however you say that. And as I think about how one road is built upon a previous road, I am reminded of the various pastors who have come before at First Christian and Cedar Christian and then here at New Disciples. And I ponder the paths that they built. Paths that I was able to walk on and modify a little bit as I journeyed. And I ponder how the upcoming pastor and all future pastors may walk on those paths, modifying them further. And as I reflect upon this, I begin to wonder, both about the future and the present, I think about how this path is really an ancient path. It was trod by the patriarchs and the matriarchs, including Abraham and Sarah, the New Testament of people of faith, including John the Baptist, the Marys, Timothy and Paul, the saints of more modern times, Teresa of Avila, John Wesley, our own Alexander Campbell. I think about my familial ancestors, my great-grandmothers, Evelyn Eig and Leora Welty, who some of you knew. I also think of our church ancestors, Mary Evans, David Hodgen, Iris Wadalove, each of which were, with God's grace, faithful in preparing the way of the Lord. And yet each and every one of these people were like grass that withers and flowers that fade. So even while they're like that, they're remembered for their faith and how they stood on the word of God, which lasts forever. And so they are remembered, and our path is built upon their paths because of them waiting for the Lord. You'll see in the PowerPoint or scripture from today, it's from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Let's listen to God's word. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that our hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" "All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." Continuing with verse 25. "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." And then on to verse 29. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." May God bless the reading of his holy word. These words are written by the prophet Isaiah. Now, there's some debate about when these words were written and what exactly was their prophetic significance. So some say that they were written prior to the exile, and they were predicting both this Babylonian exile that was to come and then the return home that would follow. Others say that these words or this prophetic utterance took place at the end of the exile, in this expectation that the exile was about to end and the return home was about to come. Today I'm going to preach from the second interpretation, that they're sitting at the end of the exile and it's about to end. It's about time for them to go home. So in Isaiah 40, we encounter this beautiful poem, and it encourages the leaders and the people to be reconciled with God and to prepare, for the time of returning to the land is quickly approaching. In this poem, Israel is reminded that she's exiled because of her sins, but her punishment is about to be over. The time is coming when that path will be made smooth. The bumps, the twists and turns, those ups and downs, those obnoxious obstacles of passing over the mountains and through the valleys to return from Babylon to Jerusalem are going to be made easier to traverse. But in this time, while they are waiting in the wilderness, they're to prepare a way for the Lord. This poem is often read at funerals because it reminds us, like, that we are, as people, are like grass and flowers. We come and we go, but God's word remains, and that God's word is our stability through the changes. Now, this prophecy doesn't just speak to Israel at that time. Like many prophecies, it also speaks to the future Messiah, who would bring good tidings, great joy, that this Messiah would be one who would rule with might. He would reward those who have suffered, and he would care for the flock as a shepherd. And so it reminds us, as it did the Israelites, that our all-powerful God who created the heavens and the earth has not abandoned us, but instead brings us comfort and good tidings. New disciples, there's a message for you today. And this is that we're given three gifts by Isaiah. The first is comfort, the second is perspective, and the third is God's strength. Comfort, oh my people. What does comfort look like? Well, according to the Hebrew, to comfort someone is to alleviate their suffering or to lighten their burden a little bit, lighten their load. It's like When you know somebody is ill or they had surgery and you make food for them, so you're lightening their load so they don't have to worry about meals, that's a form of comfort. In the larger biblical context, when we read about comfort from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about the forgiveness of sins and God's mercy, that we find comfort in that, that our sins don't have to hold us down, that we can be released and move forward. In this passage, the comfort for the people is that the exile will end. It will. And they will get to return to the promised land. That's the words of comfort for the people in the immediate situation. And then the messianic part is comfort of hope. Comfort of God giving us promises of this good shepherd who will ultimately be the source of all comfort. And if we step even further back, it's a reminder that God's word is our stability. So new disciples, I want you to listen. God offers you that comfort. God is aware of your grief. And in the patterns and the rhythms of the Bible, we see that God always brings comfort. And we know this because God fulfills God's promises. And we see that in the greatest promise fulfilled, which is of the great shepherd that these people were waiting for. And we saw that great shepherd come in Jesus. And we see that that great shepherd is with us today and that that great shepherd will come again. So I don't know if I mentioned this before, but on Facebook, my profile picture keeps changing. It's a picture of these flowers. And I think some people have been wondering, why do you keep putting pictures of these flowers up as your profile picture? So I'm going to tell you today so you can tell the whole world why. So in our home, we have this plant that is a symbol of hope to us. Scott and I purchased it a year ago in the spring when we had been pregnant and had lost our baby. And so we went to where Scott grew up. There's a lot of the Amish community near him, and they have a lot of beautiful plants. And so we went to this lady, and she had this plant that only blooms once. And it's a very special, unique plant, and she was growing it for a wedding. So we were able to buy one of these, and we took it home, and it only blooms once. And we waited, and it blossomed, and it was beautiful, and it symbolized to us for the baby that we had lost. It was a way to recognize that life that had been lived in my womb. Anyways, we watched it wither, and after it withered, we cut off the blossom, and then we just let it be. But to our surprise, another bud appeared, and it blossomed again. Wow, that was just a really powerful symbol for us. And I told Scott, it's not supposed to do this. And he's like, well, maybe sometimes it does. And so we went and researched, and on a rare occasion, the climate, the sun, the water, everything has to be just right, and it will blossom twice. So it has sat on our windowsill, dried up, just looked like a stick sticking up out of a pile of dirt. But this spring, we were surprised when the plant turned green, and one bud, then another bud, then another bud, and another bud appeared. Scott's joke is we're going to have 11 children. Anyways, all summer, this plant has been blossoming, and its other branches have appeared, and it's just been absolutely incredible. And so we call this flower our flower of hope. So the second gift that is given by Isaiah is perspective. We are reminded that spiritual leaders like the prophet Isaiah, who speak God's word and represent God's people, are human. They're like the plant and the flower. They come and they go. And as the gospel writer John says in chapter 3, verse 8 of John, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Despite this, the word of God tells us that these people who are led by the Spirit, what they point to will remain. So their spiritual witness, the part of what they were about that was of God will continue, and the part that was not of God will fall away. And Jesus, who is God's living and enduring word, will remain with you. So when we place our trust in Jesus, we become like that plant that's continually blooming, even though it was only meant to blossom once. The Apostle Peter, he actually reflected upon Isaiah 40, and this is what he explained. He said, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, the living and enduring word of God. And this is the word that was preached to you." God's consistent word, the good news that's everlasting. So new disciples, God's word to you today is strength, because God's word in you is strong. I am very proud of you. And I'm very proud of the faith that you have. And I trust that your vision as a church to pass on your faith to the generations that come before us, the generations that walk beside us, and those we have yet to meet, as our vision statement says, I trust that will come to pass within you. So as you journey forward, remember that God's word is bearing fruit in you. God's fruit is bearing fruit in God's seed is bearing fruit within you. That's really incredible. And so the third gift we receive from God from this passage is God's strength. And we must remember that God is the one who created us and names us, and that God did not just create us as individuals, but God created this community. So together we are the work of God's creativity. And there isn't one singular person in this room or one singular person who has worshiped with us who can claim that they're the reason new disciples is new disciples. It's because of God that we're new disciples. It's because the work of God has done within us, we are who we are. And God's not leaving. And so it's important for us to release people from the pedestals we've put them on and allow God to be the one, the only one on that pedestal. And to look around us and see what God is doing in those around us as a community of faith. So preparing for today's sermon, I actually borrowed a lot from this commentary called the Standard Lesson Commentary, which I haven't used before. But it has this beautiful way of explaining God's strength. So in this lesson curriculum, it points out that God has the power to fuel the stars in the sky. Have you ever thought about that? God is the source, the power that fuels the stars in the sky. And so I'm going to quote from them. It says, and so because God has this power, God also has the power to, quote, empower a weak and fallen people that they might, that them that have no might. And it goes on. The point is that with God, there's always a surplus of strength. He experiences no burnouts or empty fuel tanks. The same God who placed the blazing sun in our sky can restore our strength, end quote. So God, who empowers the hundreds of millions of stars in the sky, also desires to empower the 7.4 million people on Earth. That's pretty cool. So remember, this is the God who has strengthened you, new disciples. This is the God who is with you in the old building, the storefront, the land, Edgewood, Kingston, Tian. This is the same God who was with you through the flood of 2008, the flash flood of 2012, the downtown evacuation of 2017, and the water damage at Kingston in 2018, and hopefully that's it of water. This is the same God who invited you individually to follow Christ and who has set you individually free from any prisons that you have had. Prison of unforgiveness, selfishness, addiction, illness, fear, pride. And this is the same God who's going to empower you through the transitions that are ahead. This is the same God who is with you as a people and will always be with you as a people. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. So last Sunday we talked about how Moses and the Israelites, they were between the water and Pharaoh's army coming towards them, and they waited on God to give them strength. Last Sunday, we talked about how Peter waited for Jesus to reply to him to say, come, when Peter asked if he could be invited to the waters. And so we also wait, and we change our focus from ourselves and our problems to God, because we're waiting for God to lift us up on eagle's wings. So congregation, you may feel like you've entered a time of testing. Perhaps you have, I don't know. But I can tell you this, if you wait on the Lord, if you trust God to deliver you, if you trust God to be your strength, as a church family, you're going to soar to new heights. And God's going to be glorified in that. So don't give up. Stay connected. And wait to see what amazing things God has planned for you and planned for all those who wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, we reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not make you grow weary. You are the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, we reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. The everlasting God.